Welcome to a special bonus audio cast from AvWeb, the Internet's general aviation news service and magazine. Diesels for light aircraft are beginning to gain a foothold in the U.S. Our sister publication, Aviation Consumer, recently flight-tested a Thielert aerodiesel conversion for a Cessna 172. The magazine's editor, Paul Bertarelli, interviewed Frank Thielert following that flight. Here's his report.
We're speaking today with Frank Thielert, CEO of Thielert Aircraft Engines. We caught up with Frank during one of his frequent trips to Dallas, Texas, which is the location of Superior Air Parts. I'd like to begin by asking about the Cessna 172 diesel conversion project. We recently flew one of these aircraft in the Washington, D.C. area, and the owner who bought the conversion tells us he thinks it will pay for itself in under 2 years. Before we talk about the economics, I'd like to ask how many of the 172 diesels are flying and where are they flying?
Our customers have converted so far about 280 to 290 aircraft, and this is worldwide. We have very little flying here in the United States, basically two aircraft I know about. We have many in Africa, Asia, and of course in Europe.
What kind of a service are these airplanes in generally? Private ownership?
No, most of them are commercially used in training centers, and most of them get flown about 300 to 400 hours a year. We have some private use, but not very many.
They cost about $63,000 U.S. And they certainly don't seem to be the sort of thing that a casual owner might consider. But what do you see as the primary target market for these conversions?
I think the market is clearly first in areas where F-gas is not available. In these areas, they are selling themselves. And for large training schools, it's quite interesting because they save a lot of fuel. And these $50,000, what the initial investment is, they find payback in the first 2 years. So depending on the fuel prices between Europe and the United States, you find your payback after 600 to at latest 1,000 hours.
What's the current status of the Thielert service network? If I buy one of these things for my Skyhawk and it breaks, where and how can I get it fixed?
We have currently 140 service centers in 100 countries. The service center network is growing fast. In the U.S., we have started with Diamond service centers because Diamond is our first OEM in the United States. We have about 35 here and today, and by the end of the year our target is 45. So we have service secured worldwide, and we will increase the service network in the U.S. over the next 1 to 2 years.
Can they do anything from minor repairs all the way up to replacing an engine?
Yes, they can do the full range. We have started with training in the U.S. this spring in Dallas, and what the advantage of the product is that they can read out the data from the FADEC system if they don't know what the diagnostics is, and send the data via email to Europe, and we can then help them. And this is how they developed, how it developed very good with the service centers. They have picked up it quite good. Because of this, let us name it continuous training. And when we see the service centers in Europe who are with us in 3 to 4 years, they are doing a very well, very, very good job.
How many service centers do you think will be required to support all these engines in the U.S. When you finally achieve substantial market penetration?
I think what is good if we have in the U.S. about 120 to 150 service centers, and that the customer has not to fly longer than about an hour to an hour 30 to get hold of a service center.
I see. Looking at the engine specifically, can you summarize the service history of the Centurion 1.7 so far? Has it performed as expected? Any surprises in the service history of the engine?
We had, depending on the different airframes, of course, learned our lessons in the beginning with some shaped hoses and wires and things like this. In general, I think, knock on wood, we had a very good service history so far, and we have been conservative. We have had a lifetime expansion program for gearboxes and high-pressure pump and alternators. We have exchanged them in the beginning after 100 hours, free of cost, then after 300 hours, and we will expand it now to 600 hours. So I think this is what we have done right. And also that we sold the first engines in Europe where we had closer access to these engines. Yeah, and now where the lifetime program and the expansion of the service intervals, we are good now to get into the U.S. So from next year on, we want to actively market our engine in the U.S.
I know at the outset there were some concerns about the gearbox. Have any problems surfaced?
Zero with the gearbox. And I know that there's the preconception that geared engines do not last very long, or the gearboxes don't last very long. I think design-wise for a diesel engine, it's a need, a gearbox, and we have a torsional vibration damper system at the end of the crank shaft, so therefore we don't bring severe vibration into the gearbox, and this seems to be the system advantage of our engine.
From the beginning, Tealer planned to follow a TBR, or time between replacement, policy. I know that's still the policy, but what's the current TBR number, and when will it reach 2,400 hours?
I would not call it TBR. It's a power by the hour program. And we currently replace engines after 1,000 hours, and then they get back to the factory. The customer pays them at that point of time only for 1,000 hours. And we have got back about 50 engines which have reached their 1,000-hour lifetime limit. And once we have gained more data, we will expand the TBR time. But as the customer does not suffer under the 1,000-hour TBR, it is not first priority to do so. First priority is safety.
If I understand you correctly, Tealer is to a degree subsidizing some of these early engines by pricing them based on a 2,400-hour TBR. Is that correct?
No, we are not subsidizing the customer, because what we are changing after 1,000 hour is the base engine and not the accessories. So cost-wise, we want to be fair to the customer, but it's not that we are financially suffer under this program.
I see. How many hours does the fleet-leading engine have now?
It is, therefore, the fleet-leading engine has been replaced after 1,000 hours. We have engines running on our dynos which are significant beyond this 1,000 hours, and which are our internal fleet leaders. They are up to more than 2,000 hours.
And will those serve as the basis for extending the TBR to 2,400 hours, or is that not on the table anymore?
It is on the table, but it's not, again, it's not high priority, because we want to have more engines back after 1,000 hours to see what the average wear is before we extend it.
This is obviously a very expensive conversion at $63,000 U.S. Do you see it coming down in price with more volume?
In Europe, the price is approximately 45,000 euros, and the currency exchange rate is what makes it above $60,000. Depending on the volume, we do not see that we can get significantly down. Of course, the story looks completely different if you convert a new aircraft and sell your new engine which is in it. When we've done many conversions on brand new aircraft, and with those type of aircraft, when you sell the engine mount, the propeller, and the engine, the extra is about $30,000. And this is international sales very much accepted.
The short answer is it probably won't come down in price.
It won't come down in price, correct.
When I interviewed you last year, you said the Centurion would undergo ongoing refinements to improve its performance. What's the status of those improvements, and would they apply to a conversion bought today?
We are continuously improving the product, but not continuously improving the performance. The engine is certified with 135 horsepower, and it stays that it is. What we are working on is that the product gets continuously developed, and we have recertified, since the engine was certified the first time, about 250 parts, and this is what we will continue.
Do you see any more performance gains in this engine?
No, we do not see that this 1.7-liter engine will go above 135 horsepower.
And last question, what's the status on the Centurion 4.0?
The 4-liter is certified and with 350 horsepower in Europe already, and we will see very short first STCs available in Europe for the 4-liter engine. One of it will be the Cessna 206. And we are working on Cessna 3 and 4 series STCs.
Are there any OEMs for the 4.0?
There are some OEMs who are very interested, but in the case, the OEM will do the announcement, not we will do the announcement.
Thanks for taking the time to talk with us today, Frank.
Yeah, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity.
You'll find more details about the progress of Thielert's aerodiesel conversions in the U.S. in the December issue of Aviation Consumer Magazine. Just point your browser to www.aviationconsumer.com. And you've been listening to a special audio cast from AvWeb, the Internet's general aviation news service and magazine. We'll be right back.